Amen. If you are, Galatians chapter 3. You need another one, Dan? You got one? You can't share a given. I'm not going to have that in my church. Somebody, Christian, can you bring Dan another one, please? He shared his Bible. That's a blessing. By the way, as in a blessing of an announcement, how many weeks ago was it that you got operated on?
It was on August 29th. I had a brain surgery for a 7-centimeter tumor. They brought me home on September 5th. I had about 25 of my brother firemen there waiting for me when I got home. I told them I'm coming back to work. Not a one of them believed. And if you know me, before the surgery, I didn't have brain cells to lose as it was. So having this meant it all the worse, it's all a challenge. But Friday I went to the doctor, and after talk about possibility for radiation and gamma knife surgery, he said if I promise to come back in 2 months, he will allow me to go back to regular duty on my engine company. God has fulfilled the promise I knew from the beginning that I had nothing to worry about. And he gave me a comfort I could not describe. And as I'm coming out of this, there's a song by David Crowder. Let me tell you what he's done for me. And that is all that goes through my mind. And it isn't a me thing. It's a God and you thing. Because I firmly believe the only reason I got to where I am by God's grace and your prayers. So I
want to
thank you.
Amen. Had his skull cut open in August, removed a 7-centimeter tumor.
Grapefruit? I had to limit my movement for a month and a half because you don't want anything sloshing around. His work's not mine.
And now he just got called back. Not to light duty, to regular duty. God is awesome. Let's pray, ask God to bless his word to our hearts now. God, we thank you so much that your word is true and real and living and powerful. And God, for those that are here that have never experienced the wonder of your amazing word, and all they know about you is what they heard from some university professor or some stupid Hollywood movie or some hate-filled article they saw in Time. God, please, may the love of your word destroy the lies that they knew about you. May your word now change our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. So if you've not been here, the book of Galatians is the Apostle Paul, who wrote about half of the New Testament. It's his letter trying to explain to those who try to live a holy life apart from Christ that you can't do it. That holiness and righteousness are two completely different things. The righteousness that you get is right before God, or justified, as in justified, never sinned. It comes from God. It comes from God alone. You can't earn it. You didn't buy it. It's no money. You can't read the Bible 3 times a week and think that you've earned anything extra from God. His love for you is set before the foundation of the world. And Paul was so passionate about this message because there were people that were thinking God hated them because they weren't Jewish. Now, we're going back to when, in biblical times, when all of the believers, all they were, was Jews. And in order to be a Jew in Old Testament times, if you guys have ever seen the Hasidic Jews walking down the sidewalk and they've got the black hat and the black clothes and all this other stuff, the reason they're wearing that is because they took some verse out of the Bible that told them, don't wear any colorful threads. Don't cut the hairs of your side. You wear a certain thing called a tzitzit, so it's like a prayer shawl. And they took it so intently seriously, and all through Scripture, all through their own Old Testament, the prophet always said, it's not your clothes I'm interested in, it's your heart. If you do these things without the change of heart, you've done nothing. And here now, the Apostle Paul, who is basically the first Jew to grasp this idea that I must cease to be Jewish, yet become more Jewish than I've ever been. This crazy dichotomy. And that's what exactly happens in the church. People come to church, and the first thing they think they have to do, well, I guess now I got to start to pray. I guess now I got to start to read the Bible. I guess now I got to start to serve at church. I guess now I got to start to tithe. And if I'll do those things, then God will bless me. I'll get baptized in His Spirit. They'll recognize me, and I can be a pastor at church. And here the Apostle Paul is saying, doggone it, don't do that to God. And now I'll explain to you as I read you the Bible how this works, and we'll come back for some commentary as we go. Verse 1, chapter 3, the book of Galatians. Now, just so you guys know, if you're new here to Scripture, you never read the Bible before, or you have those numbers in there, threes, the chapter 3 and all the different verses, those were added in the 14th and 15th century. So they didn't exist in the original manuscripts. So man put that in there to make reading the Bible just a tad easier. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Let me explain exactly what he says by telling you a story. So, I don't know how you lived your life, but I live my life basically like a criminal. I was brought up in a neighborhood called Howard Beach in Queens, New York, and everything that we could take, we took. If we had to break in and take it or beat you up and take this, this is just the way we lived our lives. This is how I knew nothing different. There was nothing else that I had anything to relate to. It's not like my dad was some hardworking businessman and he did the same thing. He took what he could take. And that's the way we lived. And then when I moved down to Florida, I met these two guys and they started sharing the love of Christ with me. And I used to take my money out of my pocket and I used to go, yeah, I think I'm probably about that far away from God. What do you guys think? And they were like, well, we're praying for you because we know God's going to do something amazing in your life. I was like, yeah, you keep praying, buddy. Thank you. And all these things didn't mean a thing. Jail, prison, arrests, different states, 5 different states I got arrested in, 30 different times. It didn't matter. That was just whatever. And the craziest thing happened in 1993. I got arrested by the federal government on the stupidest crime that a human being could be arrested on. And something happened in my heart. I said, I don't want this anymore. I've got a wife and 3 children now. And I'm done with this life. And I called my friend up on the phone and I said, I'm ready. He said, what do you mean you're ready? I'm ready for God. And it was the craziest thing because the enemy immediately, he starts working overtime. Starting to do that. Oh, now that you got no money left, you want God. Oh, now that you got no power left, you want God. Oh, now that you're going to go to prison, now you want God. Well, guess who you got instead of God? You got me. And now it's me and it's you. And I was just, did this thing. I guess, what do you ladies call it? Crying. I cried. Felt like that. My wife loves that movie, The Grinch. You see that movie when his heart grows 5 sizes? Ah, what is that feeling? That was me. Who was it that did that work, guys? Was it me? Did I do anything? I did zero. You know what I did? Crimes. And all of a sudden, When God knew it was right, he like, you ever see those little tiny bells that they put on little dog leashes? He just flicked it. Bing, 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 bing. And here, this is exactly the picture I wanted to paint for you that the Apostle Paul said. He said, who was it that jingled the bell of your heart? Was it something you did? Did you read the Bible and all of a sudden get it? Of course not. Did somebody say, well, here's why the Bible says this and the Bible says this, thus there's the heaven, thus. No, not for me anyway. Maybe you guys are more logic. I wasn't. I was just a dog. I mean, when God jingled the bell in my heart, when God literally saved me, I was still in a big flipping mess, guys. I was in the middle of an illegal business, surrounded by illegal people. I didn't know where I was at. And I still had like a court case. They would tell me I was going to get 10 years. It's like, 10 years? Apostle Paul said, don't be foolish. What God did in the spirit, you can't now all of a sudden do in the flesh. You can't like read the Bible every day for a week and think God's going to give you more of his love. He says, what I want you to do is just open your heart to what's already there. And it's so hard because here's where we get caught up in the church. We get caught up between the choice of righteousness and holiness. Righteousness is solely given by God through no other means except the love of God. Holiness is a personal choice that we make that blesses abundantly more our life. Now, right there is some major confusion. Some of you guys are waiting. What does that mean? Listen, if you here are a Christian and you are married and you cheat on your wife, you're going to get caught and you're going to head for divorce. Now, does that mean God doesn't love you? No, it doesn't. And some people struggle with that. And the fine line then that exists is some people think, well, how could he call himself a Christian and cheat? You're right. But some people do call themselves Christians and cheat. Some people God loves and they still cheat. Some people love God and they still cheat. So what's the difference? The difference is righteousness versus holiness. If you're truly made righteous by God, you won't want to cheat, right? Come on. Don't we all know that's not the truth? I mean, so that's basically, if you take this to the farthest extent on one side, you'll say that means everybody here is completely holy. Nobody ever has a lustful thought or an angry, yeah, I guess we're all in big trouble. Either we're all experiencing the difference between righteousness and holiness, or none of us here are saved. And of course, I know the vast majority of the people here are saved. I love that baby. I just love her sound. Tell me again. Bye, Jamie. You know, the Bible says in the sound of nursing babes and infants, praise is perfected. I love that sound. I do. So here's where we get stuck between. Should we then just continue on to do unholy deeds? No, of course not. Then what's the difference? Well, let me ask you this. Is anybody that a Christian who loves God drink alcohol? Well, of course, there's a lot of people. I know alcoholics who love the Lord, and they're stone-cold alcoholics. Well, since they love the Lord, should that mean that God doesn't allow their body to get sclerosis of the liver? Of course not. All of the things that God put in place as far as health are going to still... They're laws of nature. God made the laws of nature. And specifically, if you want to get a little technical, it's called the law of entropy, where everything is getting worse and worse every day. Everything is dying a little bit every single day. That's the law of entropy. That's one of the reasons why evolution can't exist. Because if the law of physics of entropy exists, meaning everything is getting dying a little every day, then things can't be getting better every day, which is what evolution says, but that's a different study. The Apostle Paul wanted to make it clear, and he wanted to make it clear for a very specific reason. You are not made righteous by your deeds. You are made righteous by the love of God. And nothing is going to change that. And what an awesome, amazing thing that is, to know that I'm made righteous only through the love of God. Now, what effect should that have on my heart? I want to live holy. But living holy is hard in this filthy world, isn't it? I mean, doggone it, we all like certain aspects of our flesh being tantalized, teased, and entertained. Well, how do you get strong against this world? Well, that's where the work comes in. If you want to become good at selling insurance, if you want to become good at selling telephones, you got to get into it. You got to get into it and do it. You got to know the ins and outs. If you walk into a store, you walk into a restaurant. We went into First Watch this morning. Before church, me and Austin and the girls went to First Watch. And we walk in, and the girl's like, oh, I know what you are. I'm going to get you a girl's drink. Do you want something to drink? Like, my daughter Kiki forgot to order a drink. And she said, you didn't order your drink. What do you want to drink? She had a heavy Spanish accent, so she's rolling all her R's. It was adorable. Do you want chocolate milk? Milk? It was beautiful. She knew exactly. Like, she was on her game. Like, when that bill came in, there was no problem tipping that girl. You could tell she'd been doing this a while. So she's good at it. Now, is another girl there who's not quite as good at it mean that she's not a waitress? No, she's a waitress still. Just not as good yet. Why? She's got some experience. She knows what to do that will bless her at the end of the day. You follow what I'm saying? I hope this makes some sense to you guys, because the Apostle Paul is not going to address this specifically. Today, the message that he gives is like the whole book. You're righteous by God. Period. Continuing in verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, again, please, I'm sorry to keep interrupting the train of thought, but when I say the works of the law, in the Old Testament, which is where we are right now, reading the New Testament, and he's describing an Old Testament, which was only 50 years before this, he says to them, you think if you read the law, which is what the Old Testament is called in Scripture in many places, God would love you anymore? God's going to work for you anymore? That's not how this thing works. Please remember that. And now what he starts to do is he starts to quote Old Testament verses in explanation to a Jew that might be wanting to know, wait a second, but I was always taught in churches, I was always taught in synagogue, that if you will quote Scripture, if you will read Scripture, God will bless you. And so too in so many churches, they teach you the Word of Faith movement, that if you just tell God he has to bless you, then he will bless you. If you give enough of your money, then you have to be blessed. If you will show up to church every day, then you will become something greater than what you are, which is just a child of God. He says to them, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of the faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Now, for us, that might sound like a bunch of mumbo jumbo. Yeah, I get it. But let me tell you something. He wrote those things. He's writing these things to the Jew, to what they called in the Old Testament, in New Testament times, the Judaizer. They used to say, in order to be a Christian, first you must be a Jew. That sounds very weird. But yet, somehow, this still exists. Has anybody ever knocked on your door on a Saturday morning? Hi, I'm from the Watchtower Society. Well, hi, how are you? Good. We want to share to you this Watchtower magazine. Oh, you guys Jehovah's Witnesses? Yes, we are. Oh, well, we're Christians too. No, you're not. Why not? Well, unless you believe in Jehovah and follow the teachings of the Jehovah Witness kingdom, you cannot be a Christian. You mean first I got to be something else before I'm a Christian? This is the exact same thing they were doing back then. And the Apostle Paul, he comes to him and said, listen, I know that you think that you are a son of Abraham, but the only sons and daughters that Abraham has are those who believe in God. You know you could read the Bible every day and not believe in God? You know so many of these Jews. Do you ever talk to a Hasidic Jew? You see this guy and he dresses in black and he wears it and he lives his entire life according to the Old Testament. And some, and I mean no disrespect if somebody has Hasidic family or friends. Some of them are the most foul-mouthed, violent, harshest business people you ever met. And you're like, doggone it, son. Like, I thought you were all into God and stuff like that. Like, I seen this guy at Home Depot all the time. Oh, remember that fat guy with the yarmulke we always see at Home Depot? This is this guy. He wears a yarmulke. He's got the prayer shawl, sits in, and he walks around Home Depot, and hey, how's it going? God, what's your effing day up to, man? You know, like, dog. You're like supposedly got this God thing happening, but there's no God thing happening. And this is exactly what Apostle Paul's saying. It's no matter how much you read the Bible, unless you believe in God. And he's quoting scripture because in the book of Genesis it said, Abraham believed in God, and this is what accounted to him for righteousness. And so you are sons and daughters of Abraham if you believe in God. Now, why does this make any difference to us? Because in the book of John, when confronted by the Pharisees, the Lord Jesus said, now, what is a Pharisee? A Pharisee was just an Old Testament times Hasidic Jew. And they said, they came to, did I say the Lord Jesus? This was, who was it, Craig? John the Baptist, who said that? My daughter, of course. They approached John the Baptist and said, hey, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? We're the sons of Abraham. And he said to them, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? I tell you what you need to do is bear fruit worthy of repentance. And don't think to say to yourself, we are sons of Abraham, because I'm going to tell you the truth. God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these stones. And they hated him, and they put him in jail, and eventually cut off his head. That didn't sound like very godly people, do you? To me, to you? I don't know what I'm saying. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you, I'm reading from verse 8, all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of the faith are blessed with believing Abraham. You see it? For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Let me explain to you verse 10. It's super important. If you are a Jew here, or you go to a church that is preaching at you works of faith, know this. According to the Bible, according to the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus and the book of Deuteronomy, if you broke even one of the commandments, one of the law, you're guilty of all of them. So you see these Hasidic Jews and they walk around with the hats and all this other stuff. Yeah, but what about all the others? Just because you think you eat fish on Friday, that means you're safe, Catholic person? There's the whole heart change that you're not going through here. Here, the very guy who should have been like the ultimate Judaizer, he's completely flipped. And he's the one that's saying flat out, according to your Bible, unless you do these things. Now, how does that relate to us? Now, what does that mean for us? The Apostle Paul is just really trying to drive this thing home. Guys, please, just love God and let God do the work. If you think, well, I'm gay, I can't be, or I'm a Democrat, or I'm, you know, like, dude, stop hanging trips on yourself. Just love God. Let him do the work. Yeah, but me and my girlfriend, we live together, and we know that God don't like that because we went to a church one time. And listen, me and my wife lived together for almost 7.5 years before we got married. And even then, I was a marginal Christian at best. I believed I was Catholic. But you know what was happening? God was doing some work in me. And all the men in the world that were trying to tell me I should do this, all of that stuff, It meant nothing in the end. Uh-oh. The walk of shame. The walk of shame. Dum dum dum. You understand why this is important to us? He's trying, and I know some of you guys are like, yeah, I know, you're talking about works of righteousness. But listen, the application to our own lives is so wonderful. You do not have to follow any kind of societal, cultural, any progression that's been pushed upon you by somebody outside the church or inside the church or anywhere, or somebody, well, you heard because you read it on CNN that Christians judge, and yeah, man, I went one time to Chick-fil-A, and they, you know, like, look, please. I don't know about the church you went to. I don't know about your parents. But let me tell you about here. Nobody cares if you're gay, straight, Republican, Democrat, white, black, Asian. Nobody cares. And when I mean nobody cares, I mean like nobody cares. Like, here's this. Love God and let God do the work. It's so much easier. Because the law that was given, which we're about to see, the Jews couldn't handle it. Watch this. Watch how it works. And this, again, this is earth-shattering to the Jew, and we're going to have to find the application for yourself. Verse 11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And what he's doing is quoting, again, from a book of the Bible called Habakkuk. That's in 2:4. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. He's quoting from Leviticus 18:5. He's saying, knowing the law, knowing the Bible, and not living it, it serves nothing. Some people don't have good memories, so they can't remember any verses. Does that mean? Listen, one of the first important lessons I learned, I got out of prison in 1998. And I learned so much of the Bible while I was there. I read the Bible so every single day while I was in there. And I learned it. And the first thing that happened to me when I got out is I realized there was really good people who loved God and didn't know any of the Bible. But I was just sure if I just knew more of the Bible, I'd be closer to God. I was sure if I could remember a lot of verses, God would love me all the more and he'd bless me and I'd get a raise at work. Do you understand why that is the wrong, that is not the gospel? When he keeps saying that word gospel, again, if you're new to church or you're new to the Bible, the word gospel means the good news. And you know what the good news is? You ain't doing nothing without God. But God's doing everything. And you're not going to make him love you anymore by quoting any more Bible verses. You pray an extra half hour a day. God doesn't love you anymore. He already loves you all he can love you. And that's with everything he's got. Some of you all don't come to church very often. And we don't see some of you guys but once every few months. And we're so happy when you get here. And sometimes we say, hey, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you in a while. And people will walk in. What is that supposed to mean? Here, it means we miss you. I know it might be crazy. Like, it might be a guilt trip that your Jewish grandmother hit. Oi, you don't come to see me. What's the problem? That's not what we're doing here. We're really glad you're here. And it doesn't change your love for God nor the God that loves you one iota. Now, again, and then lest I be misunderstood, personal holiness would dictate that you'll come to church more because that's where you're going to learn, that's where you're going to grow, that's where you're going to fellowship. Uh-oh, another walk of shame. Them kids is going crazy over there, huh? What? Josiah?
No, probably Micah.
Micah? Oh, is it? Dun, 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 dun. Continuing. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 21, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He said something there, the blessing of Abraham. It's called the Abrahamic blessing. Well, what is it? It occurs about 10 times in the New Testament and Old Testament. It is, I will bless you and I will keep you. Your enemies shall be my enemies. Those that curse you, I will curse. Those that bless you, I will bless. And I will fight for you. And he says, you don't receive that blessing by any works of the law. You receive it the same way Abraham received it. Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Just believe in God. Now, I want you to think about that. Some of you guys have been cursed. Some of you guys, all your life, your parent, your uncle, somebody did something to you to curse you. Some of you guys had a nickname. Now, I grew up in New York, in Queens, in Howard Beach. I can't tell you my nickname that my father called me. You would leave the church and go, that guy's got a foul mouth. But he was cursing me. And some of you guys believe that. You're a whore. You're a tramp. You're an idiot. You're a lazy bum. You're, because you did something that your family or your friend didn't approve of, and that's what they called you. And you've been cursed with that curse your whole life. And here, the Bible is saying, you know what God's going to do? He's going to break that curse by giving you the Abrahamic blessing. I will fight for you. Those that curse you, I will curse. Man, this is good stuff, guys. I hope some of you guys here are receiving this, especially some of you guys that have been cursed with terrible names, and you're just an idiot. You're so stupid. Hey, stupid, come take the garbage out. Hey, idiot, come do this. And those are curses upon your life. And I'm so careful with my daughters. Even when I'm mad at them, I say, hey, blessed one, feed your dog. Blessed one, feed your dog before I break your fingers. Verse 15, brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls it or adds to it. And that's awesome. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to the seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For the inheritance is of the law. It is no longer of the promise, but God gave it to Abraham. Why? Or how? By promise. What does this mean, guys? Please understand this. Bible geeks, tune into this. This is crazy. Abraham is the first Jew, if you don't know this. Abraham lived in Mesopotamia. God looked at all the people that ever existed, and he said, Abraham, whose name was Abram, I'm going to make you a great nation. That's the first Abrahamic promise. I'm going to make you a great nation. And he says, come out of the land. And then Abraham's descendants, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob gives birth to the nation of Israel. And then you know what happens? They start to write the law. Moses starts to write the law. Now, what does that mean, Ryan? I don't understand. What does that mean? Watch. The promise of the Abrahamic blessing predates the Old Testament. It came before. So why did he then give us the law? So that they understood you need God. Because what happened was these Jews, these descendants of Abraham, they walked around with their thumbs in their armpits. I'm a descendant of Abraham. You're nothing. You are nothing. Oh, we have the law. God gave us. Here, the Apostle Paul is saying to them, don't you understand? Especially Gentile, if you're not a Jew here, your promise predates the Bible. Believe in God, and he will make you a great nation, and he will do something great in your life. And all the words of the law, the Old Testament, can't change that one bit. Isn't that an amazing? Man, I hope you guys are seeing how amazing that is. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate for only one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor. Please, before we finish with the very last verse of the Scripture, let me just explain that for the application of us. So, Ryan, you're saying, in order for me to believe in God and be a Christian, I don't have to read the Bible. You don't. So then why do I have the Bible? Personal holiness and blessing. Wait a second. You just contradicted yourself. You're saying that I don't have to be blessed by reading the Bible, but all I have to do is believe in God. Listen, if you go to the gym every day and all you do is walk on the treadmill, you might lose some weight. It might be the weight of sin. Let's apply it like that. But if you want to get into it, you want to hire a personal trainer, you want to start lifting them weights, man, you're going to get bigger and stronger. And little by little, you're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. Well, what if I never want to go to the gym? You don't have to go to the gym. Your sins are still forgiven you, but you ain't going to grow. And here he said to them that the Jews could not follow the law, but the law was letting them know, if you're really... I know I probably never told you this, but I do jujitsu. And I'm looking, crazy, right? And I see all these guys on TV now. Jujitsu is becoming like a real big sporting guy. I mean, I watch these guys, and it's like, man, some of these guys are so good. They're monster. They've become so good. It's become such a developed sport. I can't believe that I'm in, like, I do the same thing like they do, but they do it a lot better. How do they do it a lot better? They practice a lot. Like, that's all they do. As Christians, as believers, if you want to get really good at this thing and really enjoy it to the fullest, it's got to be all you do. Now, what if I don't have the time? What if I don't like to? What if I like my sin? What if I'm enjoying myself? It's not going to change God's love for you, but you ain't going to get the most out of it. I know people who are Christians who are divorced, who die of drug overdose. I can go through the list of horrible things. Gamblers, and it doesn't mean they're not Christians, but I'm telling you right now, well, let Paul tell you. Verse 26, here's where we finish. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Indeed. Indeed, that's an amen there. Now, when it says baptized into Christ, guys, that is not baptism in water. That is the baptism that's called baptized into the family of God. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you receive this weird, invisible baptism where you are now baptized literally into Christ, and He now takes residence in your heart. Now, if you have no understanding of how to receive Christ as your Savior, or maybe you never did or never been given that opportunity, I'll give you the opportunity today. Now, if there's nobody here that needs to receive Christ as their Savior, I got no problem with that. But I always want to be able to give that option. If you have not opened your heart to the Lord in the presence of other brothers and sisters, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an invitation to stand up where you're sitting. And you're going to stand up, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And the prayer is going to say something like this: God, I open my heart and I let you inside. Take my life and do something amazing with it. It's basically going to be words like that. Now, I'm going to give you the words, but it's got to be your heart that does it, because reading the Bible ain't going to make you a Christian no more than going to McDonald's is going to make you a Big Mac. for me, I needed a major life change. And God came along at just the right time, and he just, ding, 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 ding. He flicked the bell in my heart. I got a little dog named Mezzaluna, and she's got a little collar, and it's got a little bell on it. And she's a little black dog. She's completely black, and then she runs out at night. I can't see that stinking dog because my eyes ain't good and she's all black. But I hear her, ding, 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 ding. Mezzaluna, get in here! I go, Cammy, get your dog in this house! And Cammy stands at the door, Mezzaluna, get here! And I was thinking, ding, 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 ding. I think that's what God's hearing right now. If you want to be forgiven of your sins, if you want to be a child of Abraham and receive the blessing of Abraham, that he will make you a great nation, and those who curse you, he will curse, and those who bless you, he will bless, and he will fight for you in the heavenlies and in life. Stand to your feet now and receive this blessing. Christians, be praying. Yes, Frankie. Yes, Erico. Christians, be praying that there's chains on the hearts of some people here. The enemy's got such a stronghold on them, and they've been lied to for so long that God was this white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Republican, and they have no true vision of God. But if you are here and you want the God of the Bible, the God who put the God whose faith Abraham had placed his trust in, stand up. Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. Yes. Should you give folks a hand for standing? That was a great decision. Anybody else wants to do this with these brothers? Right on, that's what you do. Stand with your man, absolutely. There's nothing, yes, sister, absolutely. Absolutely. This is a gigantic day. This is a wonderful day that God has ordained before the foundation of the world, and it's a great start. This is the day that your destination has changed completely. This is the day that God just heard that ting-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, and here you are. And it's the beginning of an amazing life for you. Is there anybody else that wants to do this today? You stand with your brother-in-law. That's good. I think that's a beautiful thing. Absolutely. Jake, you can stand with Markeisha too. I mean, I know you know the Lord already, but stand with your lady. Okay, so I'm going to say this prayer. Now, if you're still sitting down, and that's okay, you can say this prayer from sitting down. You can say it in your head. It can be between you and the Lord personally, but it's good because as he died on the cross publicly and openly, so too, that's why we call openly and publicly. It's kind of like one of those things, you're going to remember that day when you stood up in front of people for a long time, as opposed to, well, I sat in my seat and said it, so I understand that position now. So you guys that are standing, repeat after me out loud these words, but more than what I'm saying, just make them your own thoughts. Dear God, I'm ready. I love you, and I thank you for calling me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. I'm deciding today to be a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I want the Abraham promise. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, you guys that stood up, You have a church to go to, or if you have family that has a church, you know, it doesn't matter where you go to church, but my suggestion to you is bring home a Bible. If you need a Bible, there's one, you know, grab one. There's a lot of sisters here to help you, sisters, brothers to help your brothers. If you need anything, that's what we're here for. Because I know this, that whatever's going on in your life, if it was anything like me, God ground my life down to absolute powder. And when I accepted Christ as my Savior, there was just nothing left of me. It was just, I was like, now I guess I just die. But I didn't realize that I had just started to live. So thank you guys. God bless you. I love you. Have a great rest of your weekend.